The fog rolls in off the river and the whole city goes soft around the edges. And I'm standing on a corner in San Telmo, watching a man with a ladder and a bucket of paste plastering a poster onto a wall. The poster is for the Semana de las Milongas, which I'm told started yesterday and runs through the week, with dozens of milongas across the barrios offering open classes and free entry nights. I've been here 2 days, and already I'm learning that Buenos Aires doesn't just do tango as a spectacle. It does tango as a texture of daily life, like the damp cold that gets into your bones if you don't keep moving. I pull my coat tighter and think about how different this is from landing somewhere in summer, when you can just drift. Winter here asks you to pay attention. I came in through Azaiza, which is the main gateway, and honestly, the most exhausting part wasn't the flight. It was the arrival paperwork shuffle. But that's behind me now, mostly. The SIM card was the first thing I sorted, because nothing else works without a local number, and I'm told that's true for banking apps and the SUB card too. I went with Movistar because that's what the guy at the kiosk recommended, and he did it all in about 7 minutes, with just my passport. Cost me about 15,000 pesos, which is roughly $15, for a prepaid plan with data that should see me through the week. After that, the bank. I opened a cuenta para migrantes at Banco de la Nación Argentina, the state bank, because a friend who'd moved here last year told me that's the least painful route for someone with a precaria. I had my passport, a proof of address from the guest house, and my CDI number, which I'd gotten from ONCES the day before. It took an hour of sitting in a chair that was bolted to the floor and watching a ceiling fan move nothing around, but I walked out with a card and a stack of papers that felt like the beginning of a new chapter. So now it's Sunday, and Sundays in San Telmo are a thing. The Feria de San Telmo takes over Calle Defensa and spills around Plaza Dorigo, with antique stalls and leather goods and people selling mate gourds that have been carved and polished until they gleam. I drift through, not really shopping, just absorbing the rhythm of it. You see families out together, couples holding hands, a kid crying because he dropped his ice cream, and the whole scene is so human it almost makes you forget the gray sky. But I also remember what I read about safety. Pickpockets work this market hard, so I keep my phone in my front pocket and my bag zipped, and I don't stop to take photos every 5 seconds. It's the kind of vigilance you learn quickly when you live in a city, not just visit it. I duck into a cafe to warm up, and I find a place called Confiteria La Ideal, which is this old-world spot with high ceilings and a certain faded grandeur, the kind of place where the past doesn't feel so distant. I order a cafe con leche, which costs about 4,000 pesos, and I sit at a small marble table near the window and watch the street through the fog. The coffee arrives with a little glass of water, which I've learned is just how they do it here. I take out my notebook and start a list. Things to sort out this week, places to see, names of neighborhoods I still confuse. Palermo is where I'm hoping to find a flat, because I've been told it's the biggest and most interesting barrio, full of good restaurants and nightlife and parks, but I'm not committing yet. I want to walk around more first. After the cafe, I decide to walk north through the microcentro just to get my bearings. The city is quiet in that way Sundays often are, and the fog gives everything a kind of hush. I pass the Obelisco, that 67-meter needle on Avenida 9 de Julio, which is the widest avenue I've ever stood on, and I think about how this whole city was refounded in 1580 and has been through so much since the May Revolution of 1810 and the dictatorship years, and now it's here, in the winter of 2026. Trying to find its balance under a government that's been making a lot of noise about slashing inflation. The mood is anxious and polarized, I've noticed. People talk about prices like they talk about the weather, with a kind of resigned pragmatism. You can't live here without a sense of how much things cost, because the numbers change so fast. That's the thing about money in Argentina right now. The peso is everywhere and nowhere, if that makes sense. You hear prices like 800,000 pesos for a modest one-bedroom in Palermo, and it sounds absurd until you remember the exchange rate and realize that's about the same as what you'd pay in a mid-sized American city. And it's not like you can just rely on a credit card from home, because everything here is built around the local system. I'm learning to think in pesos, to convert in my head without doing the math out loud. A dozen empanadas runs around 22,000 pesos, which is about $24. A decent steak at a pizzeria like Don Julio, which is apparently the benchmark, will set you back something like 30 to 50,000 pesos. It's not cheap, not like it used to be, but it's still less than you'd pay in New York or London, and the quality is something else. I stop at a corner kiosk to buy some alfajores, the ones with dulce de leche, and they cost me about 1,500 pesos each, which is ridiculous in a good way. As I'm standing there, a woman next to me is asking the guy behind the counter something about the sub, and I'm reminded that I still need to sort out my sub card. The card is the key to everything here, the metro and the buses, they all use it. I've been told the easiest way is to just buy a physical card at a kiosk and top it up, because the app is finicky with foreign phones. A single ride costs about 1,000 pesos, which is roughly a dollar, and I've got a feeling I'll be using it a lot this week. I'm planning to get the card tomorrow, and I'll probably make it my first stop in the morning before I head toward Palermo for that flat hunting. Speaking of Palermo, I have a meeting tomorrow afternoon with a woman named Sylvia, who runs a small agency that lists rentals. I found her through a friend of a friend, and I have no idea what she'll show me. But I've got my hopes up for something with high ceilings and a balcony, maybe near the parks, because I keep imagining what it'll be like to wake up there and make mate and look out at the city. That's the dream, anyway. But I'm also trying to be realistic about the money. The rent in Palermo is steep, and I might end up in a less flashy barrio like Belgrano, which I've heard is more residential and a little cheaper. We'll see. I'm keeping my mind open. In the evening, I wander into a malonga that's part of the Semana de las Malongas, mostly out of curiosity. It's in a basement on a side street, and the sign outside just says Malonga in orange letters. The place is small and smoky in the way only old dance halls can be, with a little stage at one end and a tiny bar with Fernet and cheap wine. There's a live band, a piano and a bandoneon and a double bass, and they're playing a tango that sounds like it's been here since the beginning of time. A few couples are dancing, older people mostly, moving with that amazing mix of precision and improvisation that makes it look effortless. I sit at the bar and order a glass of Malbec and just watch. The woman next to me asks if I dance, and I tell her no, not yet, but I'm learning. She smiles and says, Buenos Aires is the place for it, mi amor. And that might be the truest thing anyone said to me all day. I walk back to my guest house in the cold, and the city at night is a different animal. The streets are emptier, the fog thinner now, and the lights from the bars and restaurants spill out onto the pavement. I pass a group of people heading into a pizza place that looks exactly like 100 other pizza places, but the smell of the fugazzetta is too good to ignore. I almost go in, but I'm tired and full from the Malbec and the alfajores. Instead, I turn the corner, and there's the El Etnio Grand Splendid, which is the old theater-turned-bookshop, its facade glowing through the night. I've heard it's one of the most beautiful bookstores in the world, and even through the windows, I can see the stage is now a cafe, with people sitting under the ornate ceiling reading. It's the kind of sight that makes you want to move here, which is, I suppose, exactly what I'm doing. I make a note to come back during the day. Tomorrow, the Real work begins. The flat hunting, the sub card, a meeting with someone from a co-working space in Palermo to see if I can get a desk for a few weeks while I figure things out. And I need to start thinking about the next leg of the trip, the slow drift north through the dry cold of the Andean Northwest. But tonight, I'm just a person in a city, walking home, feeling the weight of the day settle. I check my phone, and I have a message from my mother asking if I've had dinner, and I laugh, because even from across the world, that's a question you can't escape. I type back, "Sí, mama. Unas empanadas y un Malbec." I send it and put the phone in my pocket, and for a moment, the fog opens up, and I can see the moon, pale and thin, hanging over the rooftops. Buenos Aires is a strange city, all right, but I think I'm going to like it here. So that's where I am, day two, settling into the rhythm. The city is moving around me, and I'm moving with it, slowly learning the streets and the prices, and the way the light falls in winter. There's a long road ahead, but for now, I'm here. And here is pretty good.